Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning. Good to be back with you. Hi there, I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. And I noticed my chair was much lower, and I remembered that, oh, Mark Holland was in last week, and he has those long, long legs, so he was a little close to the ground, filling in for me. Thank you, Mark, for doing that.
It was nice to meet Mark.
Yes.
I've recorded with him for several weeks now, but that was my
first time to meet him,
Yes. And I looked up and go, okay, whoa. Jerry and Mark.
Jerry, yes, you've got the 6'4" guys in here in the studio. So good to be back on this beautiful rainy day.
Yes, it is.
I slept with the windows open last night. Oh, to hear the rain, because we haven't had much of that. Just lulled me right to sleep.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we're true Pacific Northwesters. Mm-hmm. The sun comes out and we complain it's not raining.
Yeah.
It rained for the lawn.
Oh, well. Boy. Okay, so you're going to have to catch me up.
Catch you up.
Yes. What's new and what's happening?
Well, I've got one really wonderful feel-good story that is not medical per se. And then I've got a medical, political moron story.
Okay. All right.
Shall we start with the feel-good? Good, or shall we end with the feel good?
Ooh, let's start with the feel good. I like that. And before we do that, let me give the phone number. That way, folks that have questions can jump right on and be first on the line today. Okay, so here's the number to call to get through today for Leading Edge Medicine. It's 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770 with your questions for Dr. Umeb and Dr. Mixon, Leading Edge Medicine. Okay, so here we go. Let's do the feel good. What do you think?
Feel good story.
Okay.
Well, the sad part was that month and a half ago, there was a plane crash down in the Amazon rainforest, a Colombian family.
Okay.
And apparently affluent, they had a pilot, a co-pilot, a mother, and four children.
Okay.
In a little Cessna 203. And they had engine trouble, and the plane went down in the forest. And they found the airplane. The pilot, the co-pilot, and the mother were dead.
Oh, wow.
But the children were missing. They couldn't find them.
Uh-oh.
And so they started a search looking for these children. Now, the oldest child was 13, a 13-year-old girl, a 9-year-old brother, a 4-year-old, and an 11-month-old baby.
Oh, so just kids.
Wow.
Just small children.
Yeah.
And they found them late yesterday evening.
Oh.
All four alive.
Wow.
All four alive.
Oh.
And that's the feel good.
Yes.
Somehow, this 13-year-old girl and her 9-year-old brother managed to find enough edible roots and berries and leaves and so on to keep these four kids alive, including their 11-month-old baby.
Oh, my goodness.
And they all were found alive. They said malnourished, but in reasonably good health.
Wow. Oh, that is a good story.
Yeah. I mean, when I heard of, you know, the kids were missing 2-3 days, I figured they're dead.
Mm.
40 days.
Oh, my gosh.
This little girl, 13-year-old girl, nine-year-old boy, a 4-year-old, and an 11-month-old. Apparently, the two older kids found enough for them to eat and kept them safe from animals and predators, and nobody got, you know, injured or killed. 40 days alone in the jungle.
Wow. Okay, now that's a hero story.
Yeah.
That's I would like to see that on the cover of a magazine.
That's a miracle,
that is wonderful.
Isn't
it really is just miraculous. Yeah. So, I mean, these kids are clearly strong, independent, resourceful.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I'd be so proud to have either that 13-year-old or that 9-year-old.
Yes.
My kids. Holy mackerel.
Wow. I'm seeing a movie in the future. Good movie.
Yeah.
Wow. I would go see that,
yes.
Especially when it turns out so well. Okay, so that was the feel-good story, Dr. Mixon.
That's the feel-good. It may not be medical, but everybody needs to know about that
that's
one.
What, that's a great right. one to start
that's
your
right.
weekend.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Then with a little bit of political, medical, moronic.
I never know what Jerry's going to say.
That's right.
The Biden administration, as you all know, the emergency is over. You know, only Democrats wear masks anymore. And but the Biden administration is asking young college athletes and champions to come to the White House, but they require them to wear masks and socially distance at least 6 feet if they're not fully vaccinated.
Why?
And everybody is going to be issued masks to wear to protect themselves. And Mr. Biden's comment is that if they're not vaccinated and they're not wearing masks, they're going to kill people.
Is he still in the basement?
I don't know. Yeah, somebody tell that poor old man.
Oh, wow.
That his own CDC now says masks did no good.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, this week there was a massive retrospective study. They went back and looked at every single study that looked at masks and social distancing for the last 3 years, correlated all the data together and compared that with the areas that did not mask and did not distance, such as Florida, and found that there was no discernible difference in either the spread of the disease or the seriousness or the number of deaths, whether you masked and distances or not.
Wow.
It appears now that having looked at all the data over a three-year period, that the answer is masks and distancing and shutting everything down did zero good. Didn't save anybody's life, didn't protect anybody from serious harm. The virus did what the viruses always do.
Yes.
And the susceptible got sick and died, and the people with resistance didn't. But now they're taking young, fit college athletes, champion athletes who have zip risk and making them
wear
masks.
Masks
and distancing to come to the White House. And all I can say is, I don't know. Maybe Mr. Biden and his aides are all high risk and have cancers they haven't told us about. I don't know. Anyway.
I wonder what the anxiety levels are. Now they need to compare that with, you know, the people that
know the people that shut down. Their kids had high suicide rates.
Yes.
Depression, anxiety, social anxieties of all sorts. Small children were unable to learn to socialize with their neighbors. Their speech patterns are held back by years.
Yes.
They have lost years of competence in reading and math.
Now that they're back in school, the teachers are having to deal and go, wow, this, you know, first grader should be in preschool.
These kids will probably never catch up. You know, kudos to the folks down in Florida and Texas that actually kept their schools open and got their kids an education and kept the parents employed and didn't kill all the small businesses. So anyway.
Wow.
So that's the political moronics.
Those are the political things that are making news. Now,
But it's political medical.
Yes, it is. Yes, ultimately. Now, what about medical things? Now, I was gone for that 2.5 weeks, and so kind of starting to catch up. But something I saw on social media and in the news that caught me by surprise was a term called Ozempic face.
Yeah.
And then
Ozempic,
Ozempic butt. And I'm like, wait, what is this? I'll ask the doctors tomorrow.
Well, it's basically when you lose a lot of weight. Ozempic is very effective at helping people lose weight.
Okay. We've been talking about
and
this.
And when you lose fat, you don't just lose fat on your belly and your butt. You lose fat everywhere, including your face.
Okay.
Old people don't have enough fat in their face. That's why, you know, our cheeks melt away. And so all of a sudden, people that had a lot of fat in their face because they had even more fat on their belly and butt, they lost their fat. Now the face drooped.
Oh, and they're wondering, Why? Okay.
And they're blaming it on the Ozempic. It's the weight loss.
Yeah.
The fast weight loss, right?
The weight loss period.
Oh, just
whether you raise it
general.
Fast or slow.
Okay.
You know, if you take off 2/3 of your body fat, you're going to take off 2/3 of the fat in your face too.
And
it's going to droop. And that's why people like Dr. Umat put fillers back in to replace that fat.
That's right.
And they can put in PRP, so you grow your own tissue, and or fillers. And some of the long-lasting fillers last at least 10 years, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to do it very often.
Right.
And you can replace that melty face with a fresh, younger-looking face.
Okay.
At the
solution.
Same time,
this
you lose
good.
The fat. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the Ozempic fat.
Okay,
butt.
That was making
me. That's right.
All right. I was like, what is this? I'm asking the doctors.
Sure. It's just fat loss.
All right. Okay, you've got a question for Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Here is the number to call. Phone lines are open, and you can get in right away. 800-465-8770. We don't want you to wait until the last 10 minutes of the show and then not get in. 800-465-8770 is that number to get in. And, okay, so what else is making news, or what should we talk about? I know we've got something exciting going on at our Kirkland Clinic for longevity. And that's happening in a couple of weeks. It was so successful in Tacoma and Kirkland. We're giving you an opportunity again.
Yeah, we are going to repeat the opportunity for non-patients to get the Galleri test.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And to sweeten the pot, if you want, we are going to throw in for only $250 the big panel that we normally do for $600. Yeah, well, we're throwing that on. So it's $1,250 for the Galleri test. And that tests for 50 different cancers. So $25 per cancer that you're being screened for. So that's good. This is your opportunity. If you have a family history or personal history of any cancers and you think you are cured and you want to make sure, we can run this Galleri test. We'll screen for 50 different cancers. Then that's $1,250.
Okay.
Then if you want to get that $600 panel that we do for our patients, we'll do that for you at the same time as we draw the blood for the Galleri test. We'll do that for $250. I think it's up to $1,495, I think.
Okay.
That's correct.
That's good. I mean, if you're already there giving blood for one, why not, you know?
Yeah. It's one extra tube.
Yes.
Well, and then it allows 1 hour of doctor time to review your labs.
Oh, that's right. Go over that. Very important. Okay.
Yeah.
And this
is
coming up at the Kirkland Clinic.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. On June 24th. That is 2 weeks from today. And the time from that, is that a morning again?
Yes.
9 to noon?
It is 9 to noon, and it is by appointment only.
Okay. So no drop-ins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got to call or go online. But
that's right. That's right. If you just draw the Galleri test, then you'll spend a 30-minute visit with a physician to review the test result and to ask them any questions. Obviously, a yes and no answer, you know, requires different amount of time and discussion.
Sure.
No is easy. But if you do the longevity labs, then they have a lot more that they would like to review with you. They want to show you a lot about what we do, how we do, and why. And they'll give you a whole printout about your test results and what they mean.
Okay.
So that
Wonderful.
Will be in-depth discussion. And, you know, $250, man, that's a steal.
Yes, to get so much information.
The doctor time is worth more than that.
Oh, wow. Yes, and to get all that information. And the good news is you've had quite a few negative tests. We rejoice for that. But also some positives to let people know you need to go see your doctor about this.
Yep. And, of course, we don't like people to have cancers, we like to find them really early when they're the most curable.
That's right.
And that's the reason that we are doing the Galleri test, making that available for you. Here is the number to call to get scheduled for Saturday, June 24th. That's my brother's birthday. At the Kirkland Clinic, that's 2 weeks from today, from 9 until noon. That number to call is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Yep, that's our phone number. Somebody will be there to get your information and get you scheduled. That's Dr. Mixon squeaking over there.
Squeak.
All right. We're going to take our first break, and then we hope to talk to some folks. We'd love to talk with you if you've got some questions, wondering what's going on. Maybe you're experiencing Ozempic face. Or maybe something else going on in your life, a diagnosis or some symptoms you're not familiar with, give us a call. The doctors are in and would love to call and talk with you. Here's the number to call, 800-465-8770. And we'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a minute.
I want to go play hide and seek. I want to go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon.
You make me feel so young. And that's longevity. We can't turn back the clock, but we sure can make that clock slow down and go a little bit slower as you are aging and moving into the future. That's what the show is all about. And why wouldn't you want to age the best that you can, the healthiest that you can, to get stronger, to get faster, leaner, smarter? And what's your favorite word there, Dr. Mixon?
Happier?
It's the one right before that.
Oh, yes. Sexier.
Yes. Why wouldn't you want to end the strong and the best that you can?
You know, I've got a book in the works, and we've been looking for a subtitle. We've come up with a title, and the title of the book is going to be Lifelong.
Mm. Ooh, that's good.
Nice.
Lifelong. Perfect for longevity.
But then lifelong what? Well, Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier immediately comes to mind because we've used that as a tagline forever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the guys were sitting around thinking, this was me and Lynn and Bob, so we got three alpha males talking here, and we're saying, well, you know, maybe that's more of a guy thing, and maybe we need to come up with something more feminine for a tagline. So you got three alpha males sitting around in a room trying to think like women.
Oh, they failed.
That's so cute. No.
What would a woman want to hear?
Oh, I love it.
They have no clue.
That's right.
And we came up with a couple of alternatives. And we ran them by the publisher and the co-author and the book designer and my wife. And all of the ladies said, well, we like the original one. Why do you want to change it? You know? And I said, well, we were kind of thinking maybe, you know, some women would be put off by the sexier. And my wife explained it. She said, no, here's the difference. Men, you guys, when you say sexier, you're thinking of having sex, okay, of actually sexual performance. Women are thinking about how we look. Mm. And how we are perceived by other people.
Yes.
And so the same word, sexier, has radically different meanings to men and women, but the word is just fine, apparently. Mm-hmm. It just comes out how you
meanings.
Interpret it. Yeah, and it's a gender-specific meaning, but it's attractive apparently to both genders.
Okay.
So that's going to be the subtitle on the book is, you know, Lifelong, Stronger, Faster, Leaner, Smarter, Sexier.
And happier or no?
There no, we aren't going to put happier on the
there
title.
Okay.
On the title. But
it's not the original five.
But that'll be inside the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so yeah, we're hoping to have that that printed and published and everything. It's most of it is at the editors right now getting gone over and all the typos and the spelling and the grammar and all that stuff is being chewed on.
Cool.
Yeah. But we'll see.
Okay.
And then, of course, I've signed a contract now with Public TV starting in their December fundraiser. We're going to be doing a 90-minute show, an hour of teaching and 30 minutes of fundraising. So 20 minutes teaching, 10 minutes fundraising, 20 minutes teaching, 10 minutes fundraising, 20 minutes teaching. So three 20-minute teaching sessions interspersed with three 10-minute, you know, give public TV your money sort of thing.
Okay.
And then if they do, they get a copy of the book and some other things that we're putting together.
Are you going to sign those books?
You know, I guess it depends on how many there
That's
are.
Right. If it's over a million, then you may want to
There's all
reconsider.
Six or eight people, you know, that want it. I'll sign all six of them.
I believe there will be more, so, Dr. Mixon.
Well, you know, the clinic teams want us to give the books out in the clinics as well. You know that, right?
They do.
Yes.
I say, you have any idea what it's cost me to make these books?
I know what they want you to give them away for.
There you go. Mm.
Yes, I know. Everybody wants free stuff.
But there we can go. Talk about it.
We'll discuss the issue.
We'll discuss.
This is exciting. Yeah, this is exciting. I mean, we're talking things happening in the fall and winter, and we are not even officially into the summer yet. So, so many things going on.
Lots going on.
Yes, all good. All good. Waiting for that first phone call. If you are one with a question, we would love to talk with you. The doctors are both here. They have their tea, their coffee, and of course the laptops with information that they can gather quickly and hopefully answer your questions. Talk about that diagnosis that you got from your doctor who gave you maybe a couple of minutes and you don't quite understand what's going on with you or maybe a loved one. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. 70 and be one of the first ones on the line. You know, I wasn't here last week, the week before. My mom passed away on Memorial Day Monday. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know it's coming. I mean, she was almost 92. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking with the days right beforehand, it's like, you know, mom, you beat your mom, your mom. Mm-hmm. You know, she was 91 in 5 months. You're 91 in 10 months. Mm-hmm. And my dad was only 61. But my mom had made a lifetime of living healthy, being healthy, moving until she had an accident that, you know, put her in a wheelchair. But she continued to take her medicines. I think she was only on one or two things by the time she was at the end of her life. But supplements, boy, she had those ready to go and she loved her Relief Factor. Oh boy.
Oh, good.
Yes. So, I look back and go, yes, she is gone. But boy, she was so healthy right up until very end. She made those choices early on.
That's an important point that you raise, Lynette. You know, people think that our diet should provide us with all the nutrients that we need. And true, that is very true. We all wish that our diet would provide us all the nutrients that we need.
But reality
is completely different. A, we don't eat a variety of foods in our diet. B, we don't eat enough quantity of it. And then we don't know how much of it is being absorbed. And so given all these uncertainties and factors, we become deficient in nutrients. And so if you replace those nutrients with vitamins and nutraceuticals, whether it be powder or capsule or shakes or whatever, you are enhancing your own health. And they do have a significant role to play in your health. An article published recently talked about how multivitamins improve memory. Mm-hmm. And we know the benefits of so many vitamins. For example, Relief Factor, Lynette, you brought that up. The omega-3 fatty acids are so critical, not only for brain health, but for osteoporosis pain, osteoarthritis pain, and inflammation.
And the curcumin decreases inflammation everywhere, as do the resveratrol and the icarin. So yeah, just brought to mind a study from this past week published, and it's actually published in the Journal of Neurology. But what they're finding, you know, we've known for years that what's good for the heart is good for the brain. Heart and brain are closely tied together. So they've now found a pool study looking at six studies from 1970s all the way up to now that looked at both neurologic function and cardiovascular disease. And what they're finding is that people that have had a heart attack function as though they are 6 to 11 years or 6 to 13 years older than they actually are.
Wow, because of that
neurologically.
Heart attack.
Well, no,
neurologically.
Neurologically, their brain function is up to 13 years worse than their age. And the question is it the heart attack that caused it, or are the same factors that set you up to have the heart attack damaging your brain? Because nobody goes in and gets their brain function checked just to be checked on a regular basis. You go in to see your doctor.
That's true.
You know, you go to see your doctor for your annual physical, and he, you know, basically it's an inventory: eyes 2, heart 1, you know, lungs 2.
You got lungs.
Yeah, and but nobody really does an intensive neurologic function test, and so that just is not looked at. once you have the heart attack, now people say, oh, they've had a heart attack. Let's take a look at their brain function. And in six studies, they did that. And all those six studies are showing that you're at least a decade worse off neurologically than the people that didn't have a heart attack. And then the question gets suddenly arise. Was it the heart attack that damaged your brain? Or was it the lifestyle issues that gave you the heart attack were also damaging the brain and just nobody noticed because nobody tested?
Okay.
Yeah. But then, Jerry, isn't that true for so many other chronic conditions as well? Say somebody develops cancer. Now, as a consequence of that cancer, even if it may be cured, they are at a higher likelihood of other chronic diseases.
Well, they are.
You know, is it emotional? Is it physical? Is it physiological? Mm-hmm. And there are several factors that lead to it, especially if you've had the treatment, the radiation or chemotherapy. That's definitely will enhance cognitive decline and some other factors.
Yeah. I don't like the way you phrase that. Okay. Enhanced seems to say makes it better.
Oh, no, makes it worse.
It increases cognitive decline.
Yes, okay.
It makes your cognitive decline worse.
It increases the decline.
And in fact, we have a name. We call it chemo brain.
Chemo brain, yeah.
Oh.
Because the chemotherapeutic agents and the radiation damage your brain.
Yeah.
You know, they kill the cancer, but they do a lot of other damage, which is why the diarrhea and the hair loss and the joint pains and so on. Mm-hmm. But it's tough on your brain. It's much better to avoid the cancer. And we know that there are things we can do to avoid cancers, or at least to minimize the risk, you know. And the one that I keep bringing up, because it is the single most easily modified one, is that being overweight causes 22% of all the cancer in America.
Mm. Wow.
So, you know, if we had a medicine that would lower the risk of cancer by 22%, we'd all want to take
it. Everybody would want it.
But all it takes is eating less and moving more.
Yeah, and then if you are at a higher risk, and if you don't know and you want to find out and you're not a longevity patient, then we will do the Galleri test on June 24th. So a perfect opportunity to find out what your personal risk is, if you have any, now.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of frightening in some ways. We like to think of America as the first world country.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you realize, though, that our lifespan is 6 to 10 years lower than every other industrialized country in the world.
Wow.
Okay. Our lifespans are the lowest. Okay. All the European countries and most of the Asian countries have longer lifespans than the United States and significantly longer health spans. And the problem is, once more, we are the fattest country on the planet. And that's what's killing us. Okay. It's our weight. So, you know, folks sometimes get upset, accuse me of fat shaming, you know. And the problem is I don't dislike the fat people. I dislike what the fat is doing to nice people.
To the nice people, yes.
And lies the problem. Mm-hmm. Because it's killing Americans faster than every other industrialized nation on the planet. We have the lowest survivals. And they're dropping. Our survival rates are going down, and all the other countries are still going up. And it's not the medical care. We have medical care that can drag you back from the brink of death at enormous cost. But it's the weight. Mm-hmm. That's what's killing America.
And that's something that you can do something about yourself. Yes. You don't need a prescription for.
No. And it's not expensive. You do not have to go into an expensive weight loss program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it involves mostly changing your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Eating a bit less, eating less frequently, eating less food when you do eat. And, you know, I've known people that lost weight having a blizzard for lunch every day.
So, oh, man. Yeah. But, let's talk about that. No.
Yeah. I'll be happy to, because it was me.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Back with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We hear the music. We're going to take a quick break, and then we've got some callers on the line with some questions. But I do want to find out about that blizzard diet there. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and the number to call to get in line for the questions, 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Stay right there. sweet it is to be loved by you. And if you could have a blizzard every day and lose weight, what is this diet, Dr. Mixon? Turn your radio up. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
Well, actually, that was back from my Fat Jerry days.
Okay.
When I was 49 years old and I was fat. I mean, you guys have seen my Fat Jerry pictures.
We did. And we're like, that is not him. We had to really look. It's like, okay, those are the eyes.
I was fat and I was tired and I was depressed and I was working 14-hour days and I was just chowing down like mad. And I decided I needed to lose some weight. Now, like most overweight people, I miscalculated. Reality is I had at least 50 pounds to lose. But I convinced myself I had 10.
Yeah. I just got to drop 10.
I just had 10 pounds. Maybe 12. I'll be fine. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And so I got up every morning and I could fix myself because I was single at the time. I said, I'm going to fix myself 2 eggs and then a small bowl of oatmeal. I didn't load it up with a couple of tablespoons of brown sugar or anything. I just did the oatmeal.
That's the best part of the oatmeal.
And at lunch, I went to the gym in the morning, and then at lunchtime, I'd go back to the gym. And on the way to the gym, I would stop at DQ, at Dairy Queen.
Because I'm going to work this off.
That's right. And I bought a small Blizzard, and I ate the Blizzard on the way to the gym.
And in his gym clothes.
Yeah. It was a small Blizzard, not a medium or a large. And and I did my lunch workout, and I went back to work. And then at dinner, I basically just snacked. I didn't eat much of anything for dinner. I was, you know, and I lost that 10 pounds.
Whoa.
And it came off fairly fast because that's, you know, I'm 6'4" and if you're 50 pounds overweight, you need, you know, 3,500 and almost 4,000 calories a day. And
that's
I was eating around 1,200.
And 1,100 of that was in the Blizzard.
Yeah. And, you know, so it came off pretty quick. But I discovered that, yes, I could have a Blizzard for lunch every day if that was my lunch. It wasn't an addition to the lunch, and it was a small Blizzard. And I used it before I hit the Stairmaster and spent 30 minutes climbing the stairs in the gym. So I discovered I could lose 10 pounds. I also discovered that I was as fat as ever because when you're 50 pounds overweight, losing 10 pounds doesn't show much.
Mm.
The scale said I was 10 pounds lighter, and I looked in the mirror and I said, that guy's still fat. So, you know, what are you going to do?
So we don't want you to hear that, oh, well, I can, you know, to lose weight, I can have a Blizzard every day. That, you know, that's not what we're talking about here.
That's right.
That's funny.
Disclaimer.
So, yes, but that
Jerry Mixon Blizzard diet.
That's a part of what we got in the book is the ways that you really need to do if you want to get off those extra pounds. And no, if you're the typical American, you don't have 10 pounds to lose.
You've got
30, 40, or 50 pounds to lose if you're the typical American.
Yeah, but you know, there's another part of the story, which is like you were lucky you were able to drop the 10 pounds. There are some people that start the workout program that shave off a few calories, but not a lot, but then they get discouraged because they don't lose the weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting. It was heartwarming, actually. This week I heard from somebody who said, you know, if they didn't do the in-body in our office every couple of weeks, they wouldn't have realized that they're actually burning fat and building muscle because the weight didn't change.
The weight didn't change.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I dropped 10 pounds, but you got to realize I was eating about 1,200 calories a day.
Yeah.
And at 50 pounds overweight and 6'4", my metabolic needs were 3,500 or so.
Right.
So I was shorting myself over 2,000 calories a day.
Right.
Well, okay. You know, 500 calories a day equals 1 pound a week.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. 2,000 calories a day is 4 pounds a week.
Right. Big difference.
Yeah. But you can't keep that up forever.
No.
You know, and so what I had to do is then I modified and I started eating more, but I looked at what my basal metabolic rate was. I looked at my exercise and I said, okay, here's what I really need to do.
Yeah.
And so at 2,000 calories a day, I will lose weight at about a pound a week.
Right.
And, you know, 2,000. But the average healthy young woman doesn't need more than about 1,500 a day. you know, to maintain her weight. And so she's not going to lose weight at 1,500.
Oh, okay. Correct.
So my size and being male and having more muscle mass, because muscle burns fat at a furious rate.
Right.
And that's, you know, part of why I'm absolutely confident that God is male. Because, you know, a female deity would not have given all the advantages to men.
That's right.
You know, it had kept some for females.
And what's the deal with cellulite? I mean, really?
Right. That's right. Oh, well.
Oh, okay.
So we have some calls, though.
We do.
Right?
We've well, got some
let's
calls.
Let's take a few calls and see what's going on out in the real world.
That's
here
right.
In the studio planet.
This is Leading Edge Medicine. And the number to call to get on the air today with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat is 800-465-8770, which is exactly the number that Jim dialed from Auburn. Good morning. Morning, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
You're on the air, Jim.
Welcome.
Thousands of people are listening with bated breath to hear your every word. So go ahead.
Oh, that's right.
Sweet. That's sweet.
How can we help you, Jim?
So I recently learned that omegas affect your testosterone level.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering how much omega affects how much testosterone.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, not a lot, quite frankly, and it depends on how much omega you're taking. The average American doesn't have nearly enough omega-3 fatty acids in their diet. But omega-3s, fats, are high calorie, 9 calories per gram, as opposed to 7 calories per gram for carbohydrates, right? And so it is, you know, it is a high calorie food. But if you're only eating 1,000 milligrams a day, that is less than 1 ounce, 36 grams per ounce. So 1,000 milligrams is 1 gram. That's 1/36th of an ounce. All right.
Okay.
So you're not going to get a whole lot of fat there. Omega-3s do lower testosterone slightly, but not nearly as much as the fat on our bellies or in our bellies. Abdominal fat contains an enzyme called aromatase that converts testosterone to estrogen. And that's one of the big problems we get with significantly overweight men, is their testosterones tend to be quite low and their estrogens tend to be relatively high, because their abdominal fat is actually turning their testosterone into estrogen. And the estrogen is shifting their metabolism towards more fat. And so it's not the omegas you need to worry about, okay? It's any jiggle on your belly or your butt is what you got to worry about.
Okay, so I got plenty of that.
So. All right. So fix
okay,
it.
And yeah, I'm trying. That's what I'm calling. I'm trying. You
okay,
know?
Good for you.
So, like, my fish oil that I take, what is it, a tablespoon of fish oil or whatever it is every day, that shouldn't affect testosterone level.
No, it should not. If you're taking a full tablespoon of fish oil, though, you're getting a lot. Five cc's, that's basically almost 5 grams, four point something grams per teaspoon. Tablespoon's what, 2.5 times a teaspoon? So you're up around 10 grams of fat. Now, if it's real fish oil, it's only about 30% of that is omega-3s. Okay.
Okay.
So you've still got about three grams of omega-3s in that tablespoon.
Are there easier ways to take that, Dr. Mixon?
Well, again, you can take the capsules, but some people don't like to swallow the pills.
Ah, right. Which is okay. Why he might
which
be
is
doing
why
them.
The oils.
Okay.
And if you get the citrus flavored or the lemon flavored, it really doesn't taste bad at all. So you can do the spoons. Just remember now, instead of a 35th of an ounce, you're taking a 10th of an ounce. It's still not a whole lot.
I'm sorry, it's not a tablespoon, it's 2 teaspoons.
Okay. Oh, so even less.
Yeah,
than a
it's a little less.
Right. So I just load up a tablespoon because I don't want to spill, right? I love a tablespoon this short.
Okay, sounds all right. Yeah.
But you know, Jerry, the other point here is that older men do lose their testosterone normally anyway.
Yes. It drops 1 to 2% per year after 35.
Yeah.
So testosterone is going down. When we look at men over 60, the typical man is going to have a total testosterone in the range of 200 to 250, compared to the 18-year-old boy who has a typical testosterone of 1,000 to 1,200.
Wow.
Okay, so it's down about 80% from his youth. So by 60, your testosterone level is 80% lower than it was when you were a late adolescent. That shows. So if we really want your testosterone up, we've got to do things to get it up.
Yeah.
Mine must be about 75 because I'm creeping in on 60. So.
All right. Yeah. Well,
also,
we can fix that.
Fish oil things, when I take the capsules, you know, mm-hmm. I get a, like acid reflux.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and, you know, I tell people, if you're going to do omegas and if you got any reflux, take it with food. Yeah. I mean, it's designed to be in fish. It's designed to be in your food. So taking it with your food halfway through a meal works just fine.
Ah, okay.
There's no problem there.
All right.
Music says we got to go, my friend, but thank you so much for the call.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Take care, bye.
Right on.
All right. Thank you. And you can call in, too, with your questions for Leading Edge Medicine. The number is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We will be back with John in just a moment. Stay right there.
Really, 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 are you really mine? Really, 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 are you really mine?
You tell me that. You love me and you tell me that you want me and you even wear my graduation ring.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, we know this song, right? Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. Dr. Samira Umat, too. Hi there. My name is Lynette Morgan. We're glad to be on the air every Saturday morning at this time. We are live in the studio taking your phone calls, talking about you, your life, your aging questions, your diagnosis questions, your symptoms, medication things. You're like, okay, what is this? I don't know what's going on. Can you help me, doctors? That's why we're here. The number to call in is 800-465-8770. And we have John calling in. Good morning, John, calling from Vancouver.
John. Hey, good morning. Thank you
good
for
morning.
Your
How can we help,
military
sir?
Service.
Yes.
Question on boron.
Okay, what about it?
It seems to fix everything but growing your hair and increasing your testosterone.
No. In fact, it has a slight estrogenic effect, in fact. So.
What is boron, Dr. Mixon?
Boron is it's an element. It's, okay. You know, like oxygen, hydrogen.
I'll have to look at my periodic table and see where that is.
Yeah, boron, it's a mineral, and it's important for bone growth. It helps absorption of vitamin D. It improves wound healing. Mm. But it does have a mild estrogenic effect, and it can actually raise estrogen levels a bit, too. So,
in men and women, or just across the board?
Humans.
Okay, humans. All right.
Yeah.
I'm in that group.
All right, the humans, yes. Most of my callers are human. I have very few lizard calls. So, which is why they fall into the categories of men and women. Only those two exist among human beings, Homo sapiens sapiens.
As of today.
Oh, gosh, you guys.
Exactly right.
They're having too much fun.
Oh,
way too
boy.
Much fun today.
Yes.
But
that's what women are for, isn't it? Oh, never mind. I didn't say that.
Jeez.
So boron.
The look on my face was probably priceless.
It was pretty priceless.
Hey, Jerry, boron.
Yes,
we use it in our clinic
we do.
To see if we can help lower sex hormone binding globulin,
yes.
In which case it would actually increase testosterone levels. But then, you know, estrogen comes from testosterone, right?
Yes.
So if it metabolizes, it would increase estrogen as well. So it's the metabolic pathways that it continues on. But temporarily, it could potentially increase free testosterone levels.
Recommendation is that people with estrogen-sensitive cancers should probably not take boron as a supplement.
Oh, okay.
That's the only real counter indication for boron that I'm aware of. But for most things, you know, wound healing, et cetera, it's a great compound and helps you absorb vitamin D, helps get your bones stronger. So,
yeah, with cancer, it's a whole different ball game. And unfortunately, because everybody gets a little scared, we hear our colleagues in general medicine and oncology tell us not to give any supplements to patients that have cancer.
Which is just silly. Because there are a lot of supplements that are anti-cancer supplements. Now, the antioxidants, on the other hand, might interfere with some chemotherapy.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's the problem. There are chemotherapies that depend on producing free radicals to kill the cancer. And antioxidants tend to sop up free radicals. And so if you are getting, you know, aggressive chemotherapy that depends on free radical formation to kill your cancer, then yes, while you're on the chemo, you should avoid supplements that are antioxidants. So vitamin C, vitamin E, all of these things need to be avoided for that brief period of time. Okay. On the other hand, you know, antioxidants, once you are through your chemotherapy and you're trying to keep a new cancer from forming, they're just fine.
Okay. Does that help you, John? Well, answer your question about boron?
What is it that you recommend for people who have cancer? I've got a brother that just got cured of cancer. Well, he shoved some beads. He had liver cancer. And he shoved some, radioactive beads up his foot, through his foot, up to his liver, and hit it with a microwave, and did two of those, and knocked out, totally wiped out the cancer. So any supplement that he should take after that?
Well, you know, the primarily liver enzyme producing supplements, and there are several of them out there. You want to do this or something? Your head, yes.
With the liver, you remember it's a detox organ. So you want to be able to have that function of detoxicity. So I like to give acetyl L-carnitine type things and a lot of other nutrients for the liver that he may not be getting otherwise. The question here is, why did he get liver cancer? It's not that common. Is he malnourished? Is he an alcoholic? Does he, what happened to him? Do you know?
Or does he have hepatitis C in his history?
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know, John?
No, neither one of those.
Neither one of those.
Just bad luck.
Okay.
So if he's still under active treatment, they will want to control the supplements he's taking. If he's finished, then I would give him a whole host of nutrients, vitamin B, vitamin D, and I'd like to do protein powders. They have amino acids. They have nutrients in them because he's going to need the nourishment.
Yep. Because the radiation just beats the heck out of him.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. I'll sure recommend that because he just got cleared Friday on it. So
good.
Wow.
Very good.
Good news.
I never heard of it. But to go up through the foot and shove these things, these beads into the liver is just amazing. But the cancer was too close to the diaphragm to operate on.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I am not a oncologist, and I am not up on liver cancer therapies. So,
but hey, if it worked,
it works.
That's good.
I'm all in favor.
John, hey, thank you so much for your question.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Yes.
You have a great day.
Take care, sir. Bye bye.
All right. Yeah.
But boron, remember, we use boron simply because it helps with prostate health. It does help improve testosterone levels. And now, yes, testosterone will be converted into
estrogen. In overweight people, exactly. It gets converted to estrogen.
But in our clinic, it's not an issue for us because we're monitoring the estrogen conversion.
We measure it carefully.
And also now, as the science is changing, estrogen in older men is actually quite beneficial for them, too. So, you know, there's a lot of things over here to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all
but
right.
A great question.
Yes, thank you, John, calling it. Now another John from Olympia this time. Good morning, John. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, John. How can we help?
Well, I'm in mid-70s, getting ready to remarry after 2 years after losing my wife. I had prostate cancer and the radiation 2 years ago, and I'm finding that the little blue pill and doesn't help with impotence. Are there other solutions?
There are. The radiation probably damaged the penile nerves, which run around the bladder and right just across the outer capsule of the prostate. So when you irradiate the prostate, you're irradiating those nerves that trigger erections. And so, you know, sometimes it hits them pretty hard. Sensation down there is still okay, though?
A fair amount, yeah.
Okay. So, because, you know, if you damage the nerves too badly, you'd lose the sensory function, too. So that tells me you do have, if you've got sensation, you've still got some nerve function. So that's the good news. Several things we would address, I guess. First of all, what dose of the little blue pill are you taking?
I have no idea.
Okay. See, the generic is usually made as a 20 milligram pill. The brand comes as a 25, 50, and 100. Okay. So if you're on a 20, you might try a 50. And if that doesn't work, go to a 100. Okay. Because the higher doses may just be what you need. Another possibility is to increase nitric oxide production. Nitric oxide is a chemical produced in the lining of the arteries, and nitric oxide production causes the blood vessels to expand and improves blood flow. The erectile disorder drugs work by inhibiting your destruction of nitric oxide. So whatever nitric oxide you produce stays around longer. So by raising the dose, you're getting more inhibition of the nitric oxide production. So whatever you make might stay. But then by using things like Neo-40, you can increase nitric oxide production. And with a higher dose of an ED drug, you can get more nitric oxide to dilate those blood vessels and maybe give you better relief.
Can I just add that?
How do you feel about the penile implants?
I'm not crazy about it if you've got natural function, because that, you either have a pump that you use to pump up the inflatable implant, which has a higher infection and complication rate. Still pretty good, but, you know, not as good as you like. But I'd love you to have natural function if you can. The sensation is better. The damage to the penis, to put that prosthesis inside the penis to inflate, can also do a fair bit of nerve damage. And so, yes, you can give her good pleasure, but there's a good chance that you're going to knock down your own sensation significantly. So I wouldn't, you know, that's not my first choice. My first choice would be try a higher dose. The second choice, if you get too many side effects at the high dose of the sildenafil, would be to go over to Levitra or Tadalafil. They have fewer side effects. Use the higher doses of those. Or you can come into the clinic and we can do a acoustic wave therapy to try to improve the blood flow and the fibrin formation within the penis and give you a younger functioning, better functioning penis, which that plus the sildenafil or tadalafil and so on, lovenafil, any of those. And then if that all fails, there's the the prostaglandin injections.
Right.
You can take a prostaglandin injection at the base of the penis, and depending on the dose that you use, get anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours. You can almost give an erection to a corpse with those injections.
They're still not doing transplants, though, huh?
Nope, not yet. But almost everybody will respond to the injections. That prostaglandin really, really engorges a penis gangbusters. So very few people won't respond to that one.
Yeah.
And so we got multiple modalities to use here before you get around to a permanent implant.
Yeah. The Vyasure treatment, you don't have to be a longevity patient for that. Any of the three clinics can perform that treatment for you. Mm-hmm. You just do come in for an evaluation. And if you do have some nerve function, then I definitely suggest you try that. And with that, we also measure for nitric oxide levels. So rather than just, you know, give it randomly, we're measuring now in our clinic. And then we have a couple of options for our patients to try. We are giving them Neo4D now with the Vyasure treatments. Uh-huh. And so if they are responding well, then we enhance that support. So lots of different things that you can do. Yeah.
So, you know, this is a problem we handle at the clinic quite often.
Yes, yes. And the time is exactly 9 o'clock.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, John. Oh, good. I didn't want to cut him off. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your calls. Lines are open right now for you at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.